Welcome to Youth Speaks Out. For the past 4 years, Ralph Cantor has been brought to Laytonville to make presentations on the effect that cannabis has on the developing brain. Last month, he spoke to students at Laytonville High School and Middle Schools. Later, he hosted a roundtable with some of the students. It was recorded for this month's Youth Speaks Out.
Youth Speaks Out pretty much covers everything about youth, to stress, to school, to family, to everything that we as juveniles go through every day.
Anytime anyone says juveniles, I always think like, oh, we're gonna go to prison. We're juvenile delinquents.
Now that's a JD, that's a juvenile delinquent, right. Very good description, that was great. I understand what you're doing now. No. So, what do we want to do here? How do we want to kick this guy off?
Somebody say, hey, Ralph, I got a question about pot.
Okay. Or hey, I want to say something about pot. This can be kind of a pot. Who the heck? You got me saying pot, for crying out loud.
Marijuana. Cannabis.
Ganja.
Weed. Grass. Yeah.
Baby.
What they used to call it, reefer.
Yeah.
Yep. And in Greenwich Village, the beatniks used to call it boo. You may not have heard that one. Boo. Yeah.
There's all these like weird memes circling around the internet, and it's like, my son took 5 reefers and now he's dead. And it's like, that doesn't happen, like, unless he like did something else that caused that.
Yeah. He injected 3 marijuanas and now he's brain dead.
Yeah. there's all this talk going on. There's these people that want to make marijuana illegal again in Washington. And it's this big church group, and they're saying on the radio that like, oh, there's like the, because they, in Washington, they grow them in gigantic warehouses, so it's all indoor. And these people are saying, like, oh, they're stealing water from the rivers, and they're using harmful pesticides on it, and it's making people sick. And, like, it would be, like, national news if it was, like, 4 people died from pesticides on marijuana in Washington. But it hasn't happened, and it's illegal to use them, and it would wash off anyway if you did.
Yeah, I think that stuff's propaganda for the most part.
Like, with the whole pesticides and everything, like, yes, they are probably harmful to us in the long run, especially if they're going into our water streams. I know last summer there was a really big problem with people tampering with the Eel River and having their pesticides and all their stuff go into the Eel River, and they were actually tracking the blue algae like that because they had a blue algae outbreak, and it was because of the pesticides. So definitely the pesticides do impact the environment a lot. It kills a lot of turtles, kills a lot of fish, makes a lot of people sick. Blue algae is definitely something that's harmful, and it's a lot now because people think bigger and better, you know, but a lot of people don't know what they're doing with the pesticides, and a lot of people just don't care about the environment.
Like, the thing with the people, like, in, like, contaminating the Eel River, it's like they'll get a barrel and they'll have, like, the pesticides in the barrel, like, in the pickle barrels, and they'll be like, oh, don't need it anymore, so they'll just dump it in, and they're like, oh, it'll go away eventually, but it doesn't, and then it contaminates everything, and then dogs die, and people get really sick and could possibly die.
Yeah.
And then the wildlife dies, and then you get a bunch of still water, and it stinks.
Yeah. But definitely marijuana. Everybody's different. No two people are the same, not even twins, you know. Identical twins are not the same. One could smoke marijuana and the other one can't because it could cause major anxiety or just anything, and the other one could have a good time on it, you know. So it all depends on who you are. Definitely, you know, a lot more people are saying they're allergic to marijuana. Honestly, I believe it's not the marijuana, but what people are growing with the marijuana.
Like, there is a possibility that you could, I feel like I'm talking a lot, sorry, but like, there could be a possibility that people are allergic, because it's like, I'm allergic to hay, and it's a plant, and marijuana is a plant also, and so people could, like just from smoking it, get an allergic reaction, and, like,
or maybe they're super sensitive to it. You know, like me, if I smoke it, I get anxiety, panic attack, and I just think it's because the high affects me in a way. It's like my brain just can't process like how incredible the high is. You know, the stuff is so potent. It's just like, boom, blasts me into a different dimension.
I think it's crazy once, or I kind of want to change the subject, but like once it's kind of like legalized, like these big commercial companies are going to start like fabricating it so they can put like a license on it, kind of like what they do with like GMO food. They'll start making GMO marijuana, and then what's that going to do to people and like the environment? Mm-hmm. So
and actually they're trying to shape the legislation now so that maybe it's not going to go to big industries and all that kind of stuff. But you know what I'm hearing from this discussion, though, is that marijuana is a mixed bag, especially for you guys living up here. Man, where I live in Oakland and Berkeley, there the kids are affected by weed, but just in certain ways. Here, it affects your environment, it affects your economy. People are you know, who even thinks about that, you know, away from here? So you guys really are in the midst of this marijuana thing in a really big way, and you're able to recognize that it's a mixed bag. It isn't one thing or the other. It isn't black or white. It isn't simple at all. So I just want to throw that out to just kind of start this off. Was anybody in any of the classes that I did today? Oh, a few of you were. So what was your what was your reaction to that, and what I'm saying now about marijuana being a mixed bag?
I feel like what you're saying is pretty true. Like how people can like how. It's a very powerful drug, and like people can like seem like it's not just because like people don't die from it or whatever, but really like abusers, like it changes their like their life and how they think, how they approach stuff.
You know what's interesting? I'll bet that there's some people out there that are listening to this and hear you say, you know, it's a real powerful drug, and they're going, what? You talk about weed here? Are we a real powerful drug? But I think part of what a lot of people, you know, that I was trying to teach today is that maybe back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, it was 1% to 3%, 5%, 10%, you know, then 15%, you know. Now it's a real powerful drug.
Yeah, now you can get THC content of like 90%.
Now you can go not only to the buds, then you can go to the wax, you can go to the dabs. So the whole ball game in marijuana only in the last couple of years has really changed. And it's great to hear you say it's a real powerful drug. The other one was, do you think it's addictive?
It all depends on who you are. I feel like it, especially if, you know, like some people use it for medicine. You know, some people use it instead of taking anxiety medication, you know, but then there are some of those other people who just do it to do it, you know, and like it is a very powerful drug, especially now that hash oil has came. Well, it's always been around, but now that people are finding different ways to smoke it, better ways to make it, like mass production is being made on this, and hash oil. Don't get me wrong, like, you could definitely overdose on marijuana. Whoever says that you cannot overdose on marijuana is wrong. It is impossible to overdose while smoking it, but, you know, like you guys are saying, it's a very powerful drug, and more things are coming out. The THC is getting higher, and it's not even that, too. There's way different chemicals in marijuana. It's just not THC too.
Yes. And do people recognize that it's different eating marijuana rather than smoking it? What do you understand is the difference?
Eating it could give you a much more psychoactive effect. I feel like you couldn't maybe take it as well. You could think that there's something wrong with you, maybe, mm-hmm. because it's different than what you hear about, like, oh, I smoked a joint and I felt pretty calm, or, you know, something like that. People, I guess, would get confused and scared, like you were saying earlier, about, like, like tripping.
Tripping or hallucinating, which,
yes.
You know, it's hard that, yeah, good, I'm glad that you got that one there too. So we're saying that it's possible to trip.
And like how it takes like a couple, like, you know, like three times the amount, like from 45 to an hour. So like you can like eat like a brownie or whatever, and then you go like outside and like take, you know, smoke, and then it's just like,
yeah,
suddenly all the stars are just staring at you.
Or you can eat a brownie, wait a half hour and say, man, nothing's going on here, and you take a second brownie and then both of them come on, right? So this whole edible thing is very tricky ball game.
I was going to say, like, maybe on the flip side, you know, you could have somebody who really needs the medicinal value of the plant, and
yes,
eating it has more of an effect for them versus smoking it.
Yes.
You know, where you get a lot of people that go to, like, dispensaries looking for edibles,
yes,
because they have some sort of maybe, like, post-traumatic stress thing or some severe, like, chronic pain that they've been living with for a long time, and they eat the stuff, and it has more of a medicinal effect on them in that way. So there's... It can be two-sided. I guess it all depends on, like you're saying, it's
it all depends
black
on
or white. It's not good or it's
or,
like,
or, but how much?
How
see, that's
much
the tricky
type of
thing
person
with
and what type of marijuana. It could,
yep,
be like a strain that has really high THC or really high CBD,
yep,
type stuff.
There are so, yeah, many strains now. Like, since I was a kid, since like I've lived around it and stuff, it's like, oh, there's that, and now there's just like millions of them, and they all have really weird names. So like,
hard to keep track.
What
scares me the most, though, about like edibles and things like that, you know, most people make it into brownies, cookies, lollipops, cake, anything sweet, you know, and us or even kids younger than us would just see that as a treat, and you know that, don't get me wrong, I could eat a whole thing of Oreos by myself, you know, so if like I saw a plate of cookies and I just started taking them and eating them, it could have a really serious effect on someone too,
especially little kids too.
Especially little kids who, you know, don't smoke, don't have a tolerance to anything, and like I said, overdose is definitely a thing for marijuana. You can overdose on marijuana,
especially kids that are around it too.
Yeah.
Not like a fatal overdose, but like catatonic state,
yeah,
like freaking out.
Yeah, it's dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, I know that if you start to overdose on marijuana, you will puke, you'll get spins, you will just go into the state where you feel sick. And so, you know, it's definitely a very possibility. I don't think you could die on marijuana. You would have to eat a very, very high amount. But smoking marijuana, you will never overdose smoking it because you would end up passing out by the time. I think it was like you have to smoke 15,000 joints in a matter of like 15 minutes to even overdose on marijuana. And that's not overdosing on marijuana. It's overdosing on how much smoke you're intaking.
Yeah, it's a smoke inhalation thing. Yeah, well, you wouldn't be surprised. Like, talking about kids, like, you know, seeing a plate of cookies, there's actually a lot of emergency room visits for minors who have accidentally ingested, you know, too much marijuana, and they don't know what's going on with them. Their parents freak out. What do? We got to take them to the hospital. And it happens pretty often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I think is absurd, like, how these, like, legalized states, how they're like coming up with fake weed, right?
Yeah, K2 and Spice, you mean?
Spice.
Yeah, and I've heard of like stories of like that actually making people's figure go down, like making them look skinny, pale, just messing with their like. And then why would the government want to sell something like that to you?
It's legal. It's legal here in California. If you're 21, you can go into one of those smoke shops and buy Spice. I don't think it's going to be legal a lot longer because it really is turned. They did one on 60 Minutes a couple of months ago. It looks like the Spice thing really makes people crazy. I mean, even though it does imitate some of the aspects of marijuana, and it's, you know, but it's made in a laboratory, it really imitates some of the more exaggerated things like making your heart beat real fast, you know, making you a little more paranoid. So I think it's going to be illegal in another year or two. I think one of the reasons why people use it is that it doesn't show up on a urine analysis test. So if somebody's been busted or somebody went to jail and they got to see the probation officer and they're connected to their weed, they're not going to let it go, but they don't want to go back to jail, then they could use spice as well.
I've heard people liken spice to bath salts.
A little bit. But what bath salts are, though, is crystal meth, which is a whole other ball game. But part of what you're saying is can make you crazy.
Yeah.
Just like methamphetamine can make you crazy. Yeah. So, but that's all the extremes on there. What message was I trying to get across today in class?
I'm not sure about the class, but like what you're just pretty much saying to me, like what I was getting from that was that marijuana, like a lot of people take marijuana and just be like, you know, it's just weed, you know, like it doesn't do anything to you besides gets you to this point of feeling weird, you know, and a lot of people think that, oh, well, I've always gotten told that this is going to make me go dumb and lose my memory and no one's going to like me, you know? But here I am and I tried it, but there's nothing happening to me. So I feel like, you know, with the whole spice and everything, it definitely is a gateway drug I'm pretty much getting at, because, like, people try marijuana for the first time and be like, oh, this wasn't a bad thing, you know? Well, everybody over-exaggerates everything, and it does affect the kids, because then the kids, when they try it, they're all like, oh, this isn't bad, you know, this isn't going to hurt me in the long run. It is. Most of the pictures that you see of meth addicts are like 10, 15 years, not like 6 months, like they say on the picture. So what I was getting at with that, what you're saying, was that they see marijuana, I don't want to say see marijuana less dangerous, but they see marijuana as not as dangerous drug, and people tell them different things to make them believe that it's dangerous.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I thought what I got from your presentation was like basically from like 12 to your 18 or like even to 21, you know, like basically messing with like marijuana tampers with your mind, and like you need to get like what you want to do as an adult in line first before you go out and play. Like work before play is what I kind of think about. But anyway, like,
yeah, you know, I like that piece, work before play. I guess what I want to say in that is, what's a teenager's work? You know, what a teenager's work is, in my opinion, is to figure out who the heck you are. And so that piece means, well, if I get bored, what do I do as Ralph to not be bored anymore? What do I do as Ralph? How do I party? What do I like? What moves me? What's important for me? Who am I? That and for a teenager, that can be work. You get together with friends, and you know, you didn't have to figure it out when you were 10, but you get together with friends when you're 15, 16, 17 years old. What do you do? That's not a easy thing to figure out, but it's so easy instead to say, well, let's just roll ourselves a doobie, let's roll ourselves a fat one, and then we don't need to figure out what to do. No, that's the work for you to figure out. How do you party? How do you have a good time? How do you deal with your stress? How do you, what moves you? What's important to you? How do you bond with friends? How do you, you know, all of those things are what you need to be figuring out at this point. I don't think marijuana kills you. I don't necessarily think it's a gateway drug. I think it's better than a whole bunch of this other stuff. It's just between 12 and 18, that place that weed fires off that dopamine for, that place is really telling you who you are. That's the thing that I don't want you to play with the trick, with this weed trick at this point. Later on, I don't care so much. And I think it's a heck of a lot better drug than a whole bunch of these other drugs if you're going to do a drug. I'm just saying between 12 and 18, though, that trick is tricking your brain at a time when you want to discover who you are. You don't want to trick that. But it's work. It's work to feel bored. It's work to feel irritable. What do you do if you feel irritable? What do you do if you feel angry? That's one of the ones I see down in Oakland. A lot of kids come into school, man, they're angry, and they got good reason to be angry, you know, but they don't really know, but they're just angry. Instead of, you know, kind of figure out, well, how am I going to deal with my anger, or what am I going to do about it? I'll just smoke a little weed, and I'm not angry anymore. You know, and it kind of short circuits stuff that feels difficult.
Kind of masks it.
It masks it, right. In the 60s, you know what people used to say about weed and what it was all about with hippies and stuff? You'd smoke some weed and you'd say, don't hassle it, man. Don't hassle it. What are you guys hassling for all the time? Just smoke a little weed. You don't have to hassle it, you know. And in a way, it's true, but that hassling for a teenager, that's your work. That's your work to figure out who you are. That's my biggest issue with weed around this stuff. The overdose stuff is more, you know, from edibles and tripping. But I'll tell you where my concern is around overdose is when you throw alcohol into this mix here and they start doing things called crossfading, where you're mixing alcohol and weed. And then maybe we mix alcohol and weed, maybe we can mix alcohol and some other drugs. I don't know if that stuff is going on up here or not, or maybe, and I, you know, when you say gateway drug, I think weed can be a gateway drug into itself. You start smoking 15% and then you walk up to dabs and, you know, and all this other stuff that the whole ball game in weed is just, it's a little bit like the transference between powdered cocaine and crack cocaine. You know, this is the same kind of thing. It's not cocaine, but in terms of the potency, totally different ball game at this point. And it's just kind of like it's open game here, you know. And I know that I am not anti-weed. I think that Laytonville and your parents and grandparents and what they've done up here, I think it's something to really be proud of. You know, and just because marijuana is made illegal by some crazy government thing that's there and makes all you guys feel like you're outlaws or something like that is crazy. In some ways, I'm looking forward to not feeling that so that weed is in some way normalized the way alcohol is. And what I'm saying to your parents is, you know, if you were a growing wine, could you tell your 15-year-old kid, I don't want you to drink? Yeah. I don't care if I'm growing wine and I'm drinking. You're 15 years old. It's a different ball game. That's what I'm saying that I really would like parents to do also with you guys is at 15, and most of you guys are getting it. At 15 years old, is it a different ball game than smoking when you're 18? At 15, you need to get a life. once that kind of foundation is settled in, then I think weed has a lot to offer. And, you know, it's a mixed bag. It's not one thing or the other here. And does it have medicinal value? And you want to know something else? I bet you guys know some people in this community that have a problem with weed, just like some people that have a problem with alcohol. But it's you know.
Well, you were saying down in the city they have what's called MA, right? Marijuana Anonymous.
Yes.
And like there's Alcoholics Anonymous, but they have Marijuana Anonymous in the city. We don't have Marijuana Anonymous up here, but I've got somebody in my life, you know, a family member who would probably benefit from going to marijuana.
Who has a problem with weed? Yeah, yeah.
He's tried to quit many times, and he's addicted, and he started smoking it when he was like 12. And during that time when he should have been figuring out what really makes him feel good, he was focused on just feeling good right away with the weed. And those formative years had passed. And now he's like, oh, well, what do I do? What do I do? What makes
what
me...
I've been doing for 26 years.
You know, the trouble, though, is after a while it doesn't work so well.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps dulling out and dulling out. Yeah.
I definitely agree with you, you know, about the whole if your parents are making wine, you know, but you don't want your 15 kid drinking it. I completely agree with that. But if you're having your kid, you know, go out and help you in the garden, help you trim it, help you take it down, help you cure and do everything with it, it's. But you're still going to tell your kid, no, you can't smoke that.
Yes, I'm just playing with you on this. But let's say I run a winery, and you're my kid, and I want to take you into the business. And I want you to understand all the things about it. Right. So I want to take you out there. We'll pick grapes together. We'll crush the grapes together. I want to teach you the whole business. Right. And right now, I don't want you to smoke. I'm sorry. Right now, I don't want you to drink. You know, the business, you know, is there. It's just that I don't think people really understand, particularly the adults, really don't understand what's going on for a teenager and weed. It is different. It's really different. Just a few years from now, it'll be a different ball game for your brain. But what the research is saying is that people that are smoking between 12 and 18 are getting into the, it can really have detrimental stuff in your life. So to be able to say, I want to bring you into my marijuana industry, and I want to show you how to grow, and I want to show you, and I don't want you to use right now. That will come later on when it's appropriate for you. And I don't see that, you know, I don't see that as being hypocritical or as being, you know, and you could say, well, you know, I'd like to smoke now. And you want to know something? You may smoke anyway on the sly, but at least the parent saying that to you. I had my son say to me, Dad, I would like to smoke weed with you, but I know you won't do it until I'm 18. I love that, you know? And that's what I'm saying, is to be able to wait for a period of time here and still be surrounded by this weed thing, which really, you know, look at all the CBD stuff that's there. Look at, it's really what you guys have done up here is, you know, you're not growing heroin. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that you need to kind of normalize it more to kind of see where is it okay, where is it not, and have the parents be able to do that. Right now, parents in Mendocino and Humboldt are not saying to their kids it's not okay. And they're thinking the same thing that you said, which is, how could I ask my kid to do this and then don't smoke?
Well,
go ahead.
No, but like also like the opposite issue is like the kid will be like, surrounded by it, and they'll help grow and dig up the pots and sift and stuff with it, and then they'll be like, yeah, no, I don't want to smoke, but the parent will be like, I want you to smoke with me, you're gonna smoke.
You're kidding.
No, there are people like that, and they're like, the first time you smoke, I want you to smoke with me, and then the rest of the times, like, you can go off with your friends and do it.
Oh, it's kind of like they want to make sure that the first experience they have with marijuana is a good one. So they're like, if you're going to smoke, you're going to do it with me, kind of thing, right?
Well, there's like also like the good thing, but then the parents are just like, oh, you're going to smoke it whether you like it or not.
Wow.
And like, I know there are those type of parents out there, and
the party parents. Yeah.
And they never really like grow up out of high school. They peaked in high school and then they just went down.
I think a big difference that, okay, Ralph and I both went to high school when people didn't smoke pot in high school. And I would guess that all of your parents smoked pot in high school. Right. And or most of the parents of your guys' age did. And they were smoking weed from 20 years ago, which seriously was nowhere near as strong. And so they could do it in high school and not have the potential for such an overwhelming distraction in their lives. And so I think that's one of the things that Ralph and I have a hard time with, because I'm really glad I didn't smoke in high school. I didn't smoke at all. Nobody I knew smoked in high school. I graduated in 66 in Berkeley. And right after that, all of a sudden, pot was everywhere. But in 62 to 66, it wasn't. And so I think a lot of the parents feel like, well, you know, I smoked some pot in high school. It wasn't that big a deal. I mean, I actually know that's the truth, because some parents from around here have come up to me and said that. You know, it's like, why are you making such a big deal?
Because the weed back then wasn't that strong, right, by comparison.
Right. And on the other hand, I understand why somebody would say, I want to smoke pot with you the first time. But I think it's important in the discussion, and that Ralph and I don't quite relate to it as much, that most of the people that are in their 30s and 40s did smoke in high school, and they're kind of going, what is this deal, man? Why are you guys making such a big deal out of smoking weed in high school? Because it's been happening for 25, 30 years.
And you know, the other thing about that, Dan, is what annoys me is so they'll say, listen, I smoke weed and I'm fine. I got through it, you know, as if your brain is the same as everybody else's brain. You got to come to a high school, come to a school and see that, yeah, a lot of kids walk away from it. It's not a big deal. But for a number of kids, it is, you know, with their kind of brain. And the kind of weed and the amount that they're exposed to today puts kids at a much different risk than you and I going to school back then in this milieu. And some of the kids go down with it.
Okay, another interesting thing to discuss would be, why do people smoke pot in high school? I mean, we can say it's to get away from boredom, but from personal experience, I can tell you that music sounds more interesting when you smoke pot. If you go to a concert and you're stoned, it's a lot easier to get into the music and have, you know, an interesting experience. Why else do people smoke pot in high school?
I never, like, grew up here. Like, this is only my 2.5 years I've been up here. And I come from a lot larger high school of 3,500. And so, you know, down there, not everyone smoked weed, but, you know, like in elementary school and things like that, like here, I know a lot of middle schoolers and elementary schoolers try weed, and when they come to high school, they usually stop, which is the complete opposite somewhere else. It's usually that they don't smoke in middle school and then start in high school. And so, you know, that, like, having that experience and coming up here, like, I believe, you know, some people just get hooked on it because of the feeling, you know, it's easier for them to interact, it's easier for them to cope with their feelings, it's just easier to do anything, to eat, everything. But those kids in middle school who start, you know, some of them do get addicted and don't stop smoking weed. But then those few kids, you know, I know a lot of kids that I go to school with now smoked in middle school and don't smoke now just because, you know, they've been around it for so long and they don't see it as a big deal just because it's always been around them, you know.
So why aren't they still smoking?
It's their personal choice, you know. Everybody has their things. It's either because of sports or, you know, they don't like it. It's making them paranoid now, or it's getting to the point where they have to smoke really high doses or have to eat really a lot of edibles to get high. So just there's so many factors that play into it, and everybody's so different that you can never put a statistic on it, because everybody's so diverse now in this generation. You know, no two are the same, like I said, not even twins. But back in the 60s, weed wasn't even weed. You know, it was coming in bricks, and it was sticks and stems and seeds and a bunch of other things, and it was coming from Mexico, you know, here. It's right in our front yard, backyard, neighbor's yard.
It's an ornamental tree. Back neighbor's yard.
Yeah, you know.
This is our Christmas tree. It's a gigantic marijuana plant, you know.
You could go in any store in Mendocino County and go find a hat with a pot leaf on it, or a California bear with, oh yeah, everywhere. Willits, Leggett, Ukiah.
So you, a second ago, you were saying that maybe kids might smoke it to help them interact better with other kids and you know, socialize better. Would you say maybe that it's a way to sort of self-medicate for kids that have, like, anxiety?
Yes, I do. But then there's also those some people who just want to fit in, you know, who just want to be one of the cool kids who smoke weed on a daily basis, because obviously these kids are having fun on it, but here I am not smoking weed and watching them have fun, you know. So it definitely has both parts. There's also a few other parts, you know. Some people could just be doing it to just do it, you know, for the first time, to just try it and experience being a teenager. There's also those kids who want it to get into something that is not good for them just because they're feeling depressed or something. Like, it's really hard to just put a pinpoint thing on it, you know. It's not like cocaine, meth, heroin, any of the really hard drugs, even ecstasy, you know? A lot of people don't even know ecstasy is methamphetamine, MDMA, you know? That last M is methamphetamine. And so a lot of people just don't know about it, and they just want to be like the regular society.
They're like, ooh, I saw this on TV once. I'm going to have such a good time. And then they take it, and they have, like, a horrible time doing it. They're like, oh, this is nothing like I thought it would be.
But then there's those some people who are like, no, that's stupid, you know? That's dumb. And then ended up getting a contact high. And then been like, oh, wow, that was awesome. And then actually smoke it and feel something way different, because there's sativa and there's indica. Sativa is a head high, and indica is a body high, so... Like you guys were saying, you could get a strain that could mess your day up, but then you could get another strain that you like, you know? I feel like it's just like wine. There's those certain types of wine that people like, and those certain types of strains that people like.
So that's why I'm curious to hear from other people answer to Dan's questions. Why do other people think that so many people are smoking weed? Or maybe they don't think they are.
I'm interested to hear, like, maybe, you know, what's going on with middle school age kids, you know, like your 6th through 8th grade kids. And we have some middle schoolers here with us today. And, like, do you hear about people smoking, at, like, going to parties or maybe sort of, like, when their parents aren't around? Like, is it going on with middle schoolers very much, do you think?
I don't really hear as much from middle school, but I know a person that she's like, you know, 13, and she smokes it just to get away from depression from home. And she feels like she just wants to kill herself, and she smokes it just to get away from everything. And I know a person that told me, when she was a kid, this was like an adult, she told me when she smoked it, it was still in her system the next day and affected her grades. And she used to have like straight A's and everything, and then she started slacking. And yeah.
And other people, why do you think that people are smoking weed? Or
I feel like a fraction of like the people that do smoke weed are like prescription pill users too, like, and like they hear ways of like not taking pills like Adderall and Xanax, like, to calm you down. Instead of taking this chemical and this pill, you know, they take this plant.
They'd rather do something more natural.
Yeah,
maybe they've heard about their parents or like adults using it for medicinal purposes to help with anxiety or whatever.
But here's a statistic to think about. How many people actually grow marijuana organic that has no chemicals? So, like, you know, those people who are taking opiates or something like that for pain, depression, anxiety, everything, you know, yes, those are chemicals, but, you know, if you go and buy a bag of weed from someone, what chemicals are in that bag?
Yeah, unless you were there when they were farming it, how do you know what's
exactly
in the end product?
You know, and, like, coming from the city, I know people who used to lace their weed with LSD or cocaine, or, you know, there's things called chewies where people put cocaine in a blunt wrap and smoke it, and it's like, you know,
speaking from personal experience.
No, like I just, you know, like I used to live in Oakland. I lived in Sonora. I've been to SAC many times. I have a bunch of friends, you know, who are definitely the partiers. I was definitely the partier when I was younger, you know. But, like, moving up here, it's not like the real life. And a lot of people don't understand that, is that, like, down in the city, there's a lot more issues. Yes, there's issues up here, but, you know, we're such a tight community that we could talk about our issues with anybody, you know, and we know that it will be fine and safe. But, like, down in the city, they don't know what they're doing, you know. Right. There's more peer pressure down there, I guess, what I'm saying, and, like, people are susceptible to do different things, and like you're saying, crossfading, when people are all like, you know, if you go out to a party and drink and you start drinking, but then someone comes up to you and be like, oh, here's these pills, you know, like, take them, they'll make you feel great, and on the bottle it says don't mix with alcohol, but you know, you get this level of this high level of dopamine that you're getting released and you think it's just amazing. But on the downside, what is that actually doing to your body? Just like if the chemicals in the weed, what are they doing to your body? What are they doing to the environment?
You know, and part of what you were talking about there is peer pressure. You know, what I'm getting is and for the eighth graders here, is weed just so much all over the place and in your face that you're almost forced to smoke in some way? And I'd like to see, just from a middle school, do you see that in middle school at all, that so many people are just using and knowing about it, and it's part of everything, that's the reason why a lot of people use? And is it going down to eighth grade, and is there no message in the community that it's not okay to use, you know? Because this is quite a phenomenon that you got up here, and I wonder.
I come from like a background where smoking isn't like really done.
Not done.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't. Before I came here, I didn't know anyone that smoked. I didn't really, like, really know much about it. So it didn't really. It doesn't really affect. Like, if I'm not really in that area, like in the area, like with people who smoke, or
you don't,
like,
run in those circles.
Yeah.
Where were you before here?
If I'm with them, they know that I won't, so they don't ask.
Ah, gotcha. So there isn't that, and nobody's pushing it in your face. Got it. Where were you before here?
I was in Nigeria before I moved.
You're in Nigeria, yeah. So how long have you been here?
I've been here quite a while. I've been going on 7 years.
So how do you see this culture here? It must, with all the, around the weed stuff, what is?
Different.
What do you think?
As
you looking at this weed all around and not using, and coming from a different culture and coming into this culture.
Well, I think if the people can do what they want to do, but then as long as it doesn't affect me, I'm fine with you doing whatever you want to do. You have your right to do what you want to do. You could do as you please, but then as long as it's not affecting me.
Got it. And so you're comfortable in that milieu, even though you're not using. And are you hanging out with people who are using and you're not?
I've known someone that has used, but then I don't really. I haven't been in a place where people are using it.
I gotcha.
I just heard them talking about it.
Yeah. So I just want to point out that it used to be with cigarette smokers. You know, people would say, everybody's smoking cigarettes, you know, because that's the people that they're hanging out with. You know what I mean? But here, if you're not using, you don't necessarily see tons of people that are. Yeah. Because it's just a different group that you're hanging with. And I don't think you're alone in that at all. I think that there's lots of people that aren't using, but there's just somehow or other this thing that everybody is smoking, and it's not true.
Well, yeah, there's like a social norm, I think is what it's called, where everybody thinks that everybody else is doing it. And then, so I think that can translate to an internal pressure. Like, I should try this because I think everybody else is doing this, you know? And so, like,
you know, but it turns out everybody else is not doing it. A lot of people that are doing it are talking about it, but a lot of people...
Or they say they are just to try to be cool,
yeah,
and they're really not doing it as much as you think they are.
Then it turns out like they're not doing it. They're just like going home and watching Adventure Time. And they're like, yeah, I'm partying so hard right now, bro. Don't even know. And they're like on the couch in their PJs.
I have a question.
Watching Jeopardy.
They're like, yeah, get it, Martha.
Are other drugs being used by high school students? I mean, I'll just say this. When I first started teaching up here 27 years ago, there was a whole period where people were using coke. And then it kind of shifted into meth for a while. And it was really quite a few people in high school were you know, when you were in high school? You were later than that.
Well, when I was in high school, let's see, I'm 33 now, so about 15 years ago, there was a problem with methamphetamine, where there were some students who were partying really hard. And, you know, there was like a whole sect of students who were like, that's really lame. Like, you guys are a bunch of tweakers. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then the party kids were just kind of like, yahoo, whoopee, like, we don't care. And I you know, I see them now and then cruising down the street holding like a cardboard sign, like anything helps, you know.
Okay, well, the other thing is that a few years ago there was a bunch of stolen oxycodone ended up in this community.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys know, do people in high school sometimes take oxy to get high? Have you ever heard of it? This is not like turning people in.
Yeah, no, I'm not personally aware.
I don't even know what it is. I don't even know what it looks like.
But what Dan is asking also is there a prescription drug that's also floating around at this point?
I honestly, personally, don't think there is. I feel like a lot of people would have heard about it by now and been like, oh, have you heard that?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone whose name not in school anymore. So-and-so. Like, I heard Gertrude was doing crack yesterday, and she's been doing it for, like, a year. And, like, I've never heard any of that.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there's been any for a really long time.
And not cocaine either. Really? Because, I mean, like, 5 years ago, I know there was cocaine around here. But that's great if nobody's doing it anymore.
I've heard recently that there is a heroin problem going on in town right now because... the generation before you guys, they were big on Oxycontin. There were, you know, there were a couple kids who got busted with Oxycontin at school. Like, there was a kid that was bringing it and selling it at school here. Actually a good friend of mine. And he's not, you know, he's not doing heroin now, but some of his friends who, you know, they were hooked on the opioids, the Oxycontin, it's an opiate. They have since progressed or maybe, I don't know if you call it regressing to using heroin because it's cheaper than Oxycontin. And it's the same, almost the same kind of high because it's an opioid. And Oxycontin is you know, it's sort of like a, it's seen kind of like a gateway drug to heroin now. And there's actually, you guys haven't heard about any sort of heroin issues going on with anybody at the school?
So,
that's really good. I'm glad to hear that. But that's the generation just before you is dealing with heroin right now.
I am too, you know, to hear that nobody's coming up with a prescription drug. Because where I'm working in the Bay Area at Berkeley High, we were doing this health fair and I had the wheel. And one of the questions on it was, what prescription drugs do you see around Berkeley High? At Berkeley High, there's Xanax all over the place. There is Adderall all over the place. There is cough medicine all over the place. And what you're saying up here is that stuff isn't here right now. And I'm really glad to hear that. But that there's not that prescription thing happening around here right now. Isn't that? And maybe it's because of the power of the marijuana industry at this point that it's so dominant and so powerful that maybe you don't need to enhance it with any of these other drugs anymore. I'm not sure, but I'm glad to hear that there's not a lot of prescription drugs that are floating around.
Well, it's interesting that you said the thing about how some time back people were all looking for uppers,
yes,
like cocaine and meth and stuff like that. That really, the 80s and 90s, that's what was happening. And now the shift has been over into poppy fields.
Downers.
And Xanax and things like, you know,
yes,
synthetics. But I'm really glad that you guys don't know of anybody in high school that's doing that stuff because it's really available. I mean, oxy and heroin and cocaine are... Lots of the adults are taking it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it's not coming down to you guys.
Me too.
Do you guys feel a pressure from basically like the community here? Like there's definitely, you know, a marijuana culture in our county. And you know, we live in the Emerald Triangle. It's very prevalent here. I mean, it's prevalent everywhere. But, you know, we grow the stuff up here. And there's sort of this culture, this lifestyle built up around it. Do you guys feel like an extra pressure? Do you feel like you guys living here are more at risk for, or are more inclined to use versus kids who maybe don't live in the Emerald Triangle.
So kind of like a peer pressure mixed with like guilty, like association kind of.
Maybe, like or like, yeah, like maybe in your own words, how would you describe the culture surrounding marijuana and cultivation and growing up here where it's cultivated? And like, if you don't smoke it, do you feel like an outsider? Like,
all right, I feel like some people, you know, grow up with their like parents like growing it and stuff, and they're like, oh, I guess I'm gonna go into the family business, so I might as well just start early now so I can get a jump start, you know. I feel like some kids think about that, like they don't even try at school. They always know they can just go home and like go help out in the fields or something like that. And I feel like there's a very like, I guess.
Well, you were saying something about like they sort of don't care about school, like they know that they won't need to go to college because they can just go get into the family business, right, growing weed. Like there's no incentive really to go off and do anything because their money maker is right here,
right in their backyard.
Except what's going to happen after November, and this thing becomes legalized, and will that shoot a hole into the marijuana industry here in Mendocino County? And part of what I'm looking for you guys in your generation is not to necessarily think that you got the marijuana industry waiting for you to walk into, because you may not. And so, you know, it may be that you're going to need to figure out some other professions or, you know, some other ways to earn a living. That was my talk with the dopamine thing, too, to kind of make some choices into how you want to earn a living on stuff that you're really interested in. Where is that interest? And there certainly has been a lot of interest for growing weed. But it's what else? What moves each of you guys? I don't expect you guys to be going into this industry the same as they had for three generations before here. I think things are going to change, and I don't want to see you get caught like a deer in the headlights here. I want you guys to be thinking about how you might earn a living.
If your job is doing what you like, you'll never work a day in your life.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you really find something that you're passionate about, there's a way that you can turn it into a lucrative thing so you can survive doing what you love to do. And right now is the time that you know, it's like, it's not like, oh my gosh, I really got to figure this out. But these are the years in your life when those things are going on in your brain. And if you're so focused on getting instant gratification from using alcohol or these other substances, you're not going to be focusing as much as what you like to do and how you're going to apply that for the rest of your life and who you become.
I think, so like growing marijuana locally is a dying business since it's all these states are like, we're making it legal. Oh, look, here's a gigantic dispensary. Oh, it's a little bit cheaper, so you can go there and buy it. And the prices for buying marijuana are like going down, so the grower's not making as much money. And then when people find out, like, oh, you're from the Emerald Triangle, do you smoke? And they, like, kind of want to put pressure on you and be like, oh, you don't smoke? I'm really disappointed. I was really hoping you did because I've heard so much about the different counties and how much they smoked.
Another thing to think of is, like, the illegality of pot is what made the prices really high for, you know, since the 70s. And that's why we were able to create this whole thing out here, because it was illegal. And then just as the enforcement backed off and it became a lot less risky. I mean, in the 80s, they took land away from people who lived around me. They actually seized parcels, you know. And so now when it's legal, it's really going to be more like growing corn. And I think a lot of people that, you know, came up here in the last 5 or 10 years thinking, wow, this is a way to make a whole lot of money, are going to be really disappointed. I mean, they could have gone to Iowa and grown corn and made the same kind of money in the long run. The specialty things, on the other hand, because people have made really amazing strains up here, that's going to, there's going to be a market for that, but not this deal where people move here from Texas and grow, put in 200 plants in these giant bags. You know, it's like, anyway.
You just described so many people that I've known who came here and they're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to move to Northern California and that's going to solve my problems. You know, I'm going to get out of debt. And I'm just like, oh, are you sure you want to do this? Because the market has really changed. It's so saturated now that you can't get nearly as much as you used to be able to get for a pound.
No, but you can get away with growing a lot more without any hassle.
Yeah.
Without hassle. But what I'm getting to is you want to be able to get a life at this point and get a, it's, you know, you guys are launching here in the place. I want to see you, you know, launch into something that, because the business is not going to be here. It's just not going to be here for the most part. And I think a lot of people are still expecting, well, I'm going to go into the business. I don't have to worry about it. Wrong. That's part of what, you know, you got to figure out what else is here. You guys were great, by the way, and I loved teaching today. I don't know if you knew it, but boy, it was fun, huh? We did 2 full hours there, and you guys were, you know, and real open to this stuff and trying to figure this marijuana thing out and batting it around, you know, and you know, and I think this is maybe how you do it, is you keep talking about it and working our way through it here. But you guys are not on square one when it comes to weed. You guys are, you know, really in another place, and I feel good about it. I feel good about where you guys are. And I guess I've been coming here now for 4 years. This is the best year. This is the best year.
Good. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Ralph.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our Environmental Prevention Strategies and the Community, also known as the EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substances abuse through a variety of strategies in Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089. Again, that's 707-984-8089. Or email Jama at jamashields@pacific.net.
And that's JAYMASHIELDS at pacific.net. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162. Again, that's P.O. Box 1162, Willits, CA 95490. Or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. where you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month